Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Heavenly Father, there's just some parts of the Bible that never get old. And Lord, the more we read them, the more familiar they become. And yet, even with them being so familiar, they just never lose, dear God, their sweetness and their power and the impact that they have on our lives. And so thank you for this wonderful story. Lord, I pray that you would bless the message tonight. Lord, may it prepare our hearts, Lord, as we stand here today, 1 week away from Christmas Day. I pray that it'll prepare us, Lord, for the next 7 days. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And it may be seated. I want to put us in a time capsule for just a little bit. I want to take us back. You say, Preacher, are we going to go back to Luke chapter number 2, the day that Christ was born? No, I want to take us back a week before. Because tonight we are 1 week before the celebration of Christmas and the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to think not of that day, but what was going on 1 week before this was to happen. So we're going to take a trip back and we're going to visit a few places and see what the reaction was and what the anticipation was and what was going on a week before Jesus was born. And then as we're looking at that, remember, we're going to get back in our little time machine and come back, and we're going to visit 2024, and we're going to think, okay, in America, has things really changed all that much? A week before Jesus was born. Well, the first place if we could visit would be awesome, and maybe we should go there first. A week before Jesus was born, 'twas the week before Christmas. I can tell you one thing, there was excitement in heaven. If we could go up and visit heaven a week before Jesus was born, you know what? I think that you would find that there was great excitement. Think about this. Heaven was in anticipation of Christ being born. It was a big deal up there for sure. 7 days until the Son of God was to be born. Approximately 9 months earlier, think about this, the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed a young Jewish girl, and through divine conception placed within her the second member of the triune God. The Word had become flesh and soon would dwell among us. And now for this past several months, heaven has been growing in excitement because Christ was going to be born and the day of his delivery was at hand. I think angel choirs, maybe they were doing what Brother Bud and the choir's been doing. They've been rehearsing, amen. They've been practicing. Angel choirs dressed in divine glory. Can you see it? Practicing the melodic announcement that they would soon deliver to just a handful of shepherds outside of Bethlehem. Imagine them as they sing with perfect pitch and harmony, their voices filling heaven as the words flow with power and worship. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Then perhaps on earth a different group of angels. Think about this. We're talking about heavenly things. We're talking about the invisible creation. Maybe there's another group of angels that now prepare to accompany Mary and Joseph as they are getting ready to begin their difficult journey from Nazareth towards Bethlehem. By the way, we could go back to Revelation chapter 12, and whether we understand it all or not, Revelation 12, it shines light on the birth of Christ, and it tells us that that dragon was poised to destroy the Christ child the moment that he was born. So folks, can you picture these angels with flaming swords surrounding and protecting the ones who would care for the infant Christ? You know, think about it. It's no secret that Satan is enraged at this point. He hates what is about to transpire. From the first prophecy in the Garden of Eden, the wicked one has done the best he could to destroy the royal lineage from whose loins would come the one whose heel he would bruise, but who in turn would bruise his head. Jesus was coming. For hundreds of years, the serpent has hissed, the lion has roared, and now upon earth, demons scream and devils threaten as strong angels escort a man leading a donkey upon which sat a virgin carrying the Savior of the world. Jehovah God, can you see him watching from heaven? Listen, he's thinking thoughts we can't think. He's feeling emotions that we cannot feel. But he is aware that soon his son will be born in a manger. Hey, there's excitement up there, folks. A vacant throne is on the right-hand side of the Father. Think about that. As the King's only begotten son prepares to take his place among men, his royal robes lay on the throne, soon to be traded for swaddling clothes. Then a carpenter's apron. Think about it. Then the attire of a prophet. And then a velvet robe of mockery as he's led to the cross. Then a burial robe and a napkin around his head. And then back to heaven to once again claim his royal position at the right hand of the Father. God selected and commissioned a solitary star. And it's preparing for its soon journey also. God has given it his increased power, and he's given it divine directions, and soon it will begin to build in intensity and lead some wise men to visit his son. Think about all that was transpiring. 'Twas a week before Christmas, and in heaven there was excitement as there should have been on earth. Number two, 'twas the week before Christmas, and there was ignorance or unconcern on earth. Think about that. The people of the earth. I'm talking about a week before Christmas. Think about who even knew. Think about who even cared. The people of the earth, even the people of God, they're too busy to acknowledge the coming of their king. The world system led by Caesar Augustus has distracted and disrupted what should have been a time of peaceful preparation and holy consideration. He has accomplished this. I'm talking about Caesar Augustus. He's accomplished this by focusing their minds and efforts at this time on money and taxation. The buzz on the streets was not about a coming prophesied Savior, and they should have known that it was time. But it was all about relocation and refinancing and all of the burdens of just trying to get through life. The scribes and Pharisees, excuse me, folks, they should have known. The religious leaders should have been aware. Had they been studying the Old Testament prophecies instead of increasing their savings accounts at the expense of widows and polishing their wordy prayers they would soon deliver on street corners for the applause of men, had they been actually searching the scriptures, they would have been able to pinpoint the place, come on, and the means and the general timetable of the coming of their Messiah. But they were captured by carnality instead of consumed with the coming of Jesus Christ. Shepherds watched their sheep. I'm talking about a week before, folks. Shepherds watched their sheep outside of Bethlehem. No inkling of the heavenly fireworks display they would be privy to in just 7 short days. An innkeeper, can you see him? He's wringing his hands with excitement at the increased revenue that the Roman taxation would bring to his coffers. Completely unaware and unconcerned that 7 days' journey out, a young virgin carrying the Savior was to make her way to his door, only to be told there's no room for you. Think about that. Think about that innkeeper as he slips out to the barn to take care of the livestock. He has no idea that the hay that he's throwing into the manger, that same manger will be the first king-size bed. The first king-size bed. And that a Savior in 7 days would lay there. Think about this, folks, the difference. Heaven is aglow with anticipation and excitement, and earth is totally unaware. Heaven's rejoicing and the earth is distracted. Heaven was anticipating the greatest day thus far in the history of the world, and the earth and its inhabitants are encumbered about their own wants, their own desires, their own plans. Heaven shouts with anticipation while the earth heaves a selfish sigh. 'Twas the week before Christmas. Number 3, 'twas the week before Christmas, and there was a remnant who watched and waited. There was just a handful of people that knew, and it was the most important thing going on in their life. Not everyone on earth was unaware. A young virgin girl felt the Savior move within her womb. She was aware. She was aware of what was going on. Can you imagine as she's riding towards Bethlehem? Can you imagine her mind going back to the appearance of the angel who announced to her that she had been selected as the handmaid of the Lord? What a title. Think about that. I need to study that out and preach on it one of these days. The chosen vessel to carry and deliver a king. A young husband walked ahead of her. Come on, all of us husbands, put yourself in that very human place for a minute. He's occasionally looking back at her face, his face etched with concern over his pregnant wife. Can you see her giving one of those wife smiles that tries to ease our worry? And then can you see him carrying along with him on this journey the memory of the same angel that made an appearance to him, visited him in a dream, and explained to him her role, his espoused wife's role in bringing into the world the Messiah? Here they come. They're aware of it. That's the major focus of their life right now, is we're about to attend the birth of the King. Hundreds of miles away, folks, dark men gather and study and whisper and wonder. These magi, these descendants of the group of gathered wise men assembled by Nebuchadnezzar years ago, these cultivators of astrology and philosophy and medicine, were studying the writings of one of their predecessors, by the way, a Jewish prophet by the name of Daniel. And by studying, they learned. By studying, they learned. They learned what everyone could have learned, but they had to study. By studying, they learned. They became convinced that the advent of a great king would arise from among the Jews. The prophecy was there and was so compelling that they were making preparations to choose from among them men who would embark upon a journey to locate who they would call the King of the Jews. Think about this, folks. 'Twas the week before Christmas, and only a very few anticipated here on earth Christ's coming. Only a few were really paying attention to it. Only a few watched and waited. Only a few refused to be distracted and detained by the world's warped system of values. Because of this, in 7 days, they knew that Jesus was coming. So in heaven, we're in our time machine. We're 7 days before the birth of Christ. We look up at heaven and there's great excitement because you know what? Jesus was going to be born. We look around on earth and it seems like not too many people even care or give it a moment's thought. It's all about what they need. and it's all about their problems, and it's all about their financial situation, and then there's a handful of people that get it. And then we get back in our time machine, and we come back to 2024, and we stand here. I stand here, you're sitting. I stand here today, and we gather, and we're 7 days from the celebration of the birth of a king. And I had to, as I was writing all these things out, I had to think to myself, has things changed all that much? You know what? I can tell you this. Heaven's still excited about it. Heaven is still excited about it. Think about that. Imagine the angels of God as they observe the people of the world. I mean, can you imagine this? They're excited, I think, because at least the entire world has kind of selected a day that is supposed to be the day that they remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the angels of God sometimes, as they observe the people of the world, the same people, by the way, who their King Jesus came the first time to save. In 7 days, as they ponder down and look at the world today, do they see anyone that seems interested? But they're excited. They're excited. I think they're saying, well, surely people are going to realize what this season is really about, what Christmas is really about. I wonder what the people of earth will do in the next 7 days. I wonder what they'll do to celebrate the coming of our Savior, the remembrance of his coming. Perhaps members, I couldn't help but think about it, perhaps members of the original heavenly host who first announced to the shepherds. Maybe they're reliving that day or recounting the story of that first Christmas night to the saints of God. Come on, some of my loved ones, some of your loved ones who once celebrated Christ's birth but now celebrated in heaven. I couldn't help but think maybe they have a yearly cantata too. You know what? Why don't we just commemorate what we announced the first time by announcing it every Christmas? You know, maybe we're not allowed to go down and do it in front of shepherds, but we can do it in front of the saints of God. Maybe some of them say, could you sing it the way you sang it? I'd like to see the way it was performed that first Christmas day. Perhaps as we practice our church cantata down here, they're rehearsing an encore performance of the celebration that happened on the night Christ was born. Think about this. Perhaps our loved ones in heaven are remembering their earthly Christmas celebrations, and they're thinking of us. They're thinking of the sweet reunion day when all Christmases forever will be celebrated together, and it won't be any hassle trying to get the family together. It'll just happen. It'll just happen. And maybe they're sharing with the angels in return the sweet memories of what the way Christ was celebrated here on earth. Maybe God the Father, think about him. It ought to matter to us what God thinks, by the way. It ought to. Maybe God the Father just peers down from heaven 7 days prior to Christmas to wonder at the world who for the most part has X'd Christ out of Christmas. Think about that. X'd out the name of his son from the memory of this holiday season. Perhaps the Son of God, who now sits at the right hand of the Father, wonders at a world more focused on material things than on a manger scene. Think about that. 'Twas the week before Christmas, and I think heaven wonders. Yes, they celebrate, but I also think they look down and they wonder. They wonder what the world will do as we get closer to the next, and through the next 7 days, to the remembrance of the birth of Christ. 'Twas the week before Christmas, 2024. There's wonder in heaven. 'Twas the week before Christmas, 2024. And on earth, there's still, I hate to announce this, there's still little regard given to the birth of Jesus Christ. 7 days before Christmas, and the world, for the most part, thinks little of the one who is the reason for the season. An unconverted world. And folks, listen to me. I'm not shocked when lost people act like lost people. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't break the heart of God. And it doesn't mean that it's right. An unconverted world is excited about time away from their job, the parties they will attend, the gifts they will give, the gifts they will receive. Listen, folks, the liquor stores are ringing in record sales, and the retailers are cashing in on America's obsession with materialism. And yet, how many thoughts are given to the one who came so many years ago? In the next 7 days, Jesus Christ, I hate to say this, it's true. I'm just going to say it. In the next 7 days, Jesus Christ's name will be said more in blasphemy than it will be said in adoration. In the next 7 days, more songs will be sung about jolly old Saint Nick than will be sung about the Savior of the world. More thoughts will be focused on self than on the Son of God. More money will be spent on booze than on spreading the good news of Christ's birth. 7 days before Christmas and the taverns will overflow, and sadly, a lot of the churches will stand empty. 'Twas the week before Christmas, and the world has, for the most part, forgotten what happened in Bethlehem on that blessed Christmas night. And I want to say this, it's not just the unconverted that are blanking Christ out. Sadly, even amongst those on earth who claim to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Lord Jesus will have to take a back seat to their earthly plans. The heaven wonders at it. I think the heart of God is grieved by it. And yet, folks, year after year, it happens. 'Twas the week before Christmas and heaven wonders. The world is distracted and disinterested. But one more thing is true. 7 days before Christmas, there's still a remnant who has not forgotten. And folks, I can't be a part of what's going on in heaven, and I can't change everything else that's going on earth, but I can tell you right now, I want to be a part of this remnant. Don't get me wrong now, folks. Don't get me wrong. The remnant, even those of us that are part of the remnant, we'll do some decorating and we'll do some gift buying, and we're going to gather together in family groups to celebrate the season. But there is a difference in what we carry in our hearts and what is foremost in our minds. In the next 7 days, choir members at Blessed Hope Baptist Church will stand and sing and repeat the sounding joy of Christ's birth. But it won't just be one cantata in one Baptist church in one location. This will happen all over the nation, where churches will gather together and choirs will get up and they will make a big deal about Christ's coming. In the next 7 days, church members will gather to worship the first coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Song leaders across the nation will lead those gathered in singing songs like Away in a Manger and Silent Night, Holy Night. And how about this one? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Soloists and pianists and singing groups will prepare to remind us of the real reason for the season. Sunday school teachers in the next 7 days are going to gather their children around them. Children's workers will do it in junior churches and primary churches, not just at Blessed Hope, but all across this nation. Folks, listen to me. There's still a remnant. There's still a remnant. There's still a remnant. And we're going to gather those children around us and tell them the great story of how Christ was born in Bethlehem. And those children, you know what? They're going to be transported because of their teachers' passion and effort. They're going to be transported back into that stable and feel like they can stand there and see that child, Christ child, laying in that manger. And this truth, we've got a chance for this truth to be handed to another generation. Let's not get distracted by all the other things that are going on. Let's make it about Jesus. In the next 7 days, there will be those bus workers, and it won't just be here, who will still visit in the next 7 days. Bus drivers who will still drive a bus in the next 7 days. Bus captains who will make sure their riders remember that a Savior was once born into this world. In the next 7 days, preachers will preach from Luke chapter 2 or Matthew chapter 2. Or all kinds of other places in the Bible. How about this? Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And Jesus Christ will be proclaimed and lifted up. The next 7 days, God's people will hand out gospel tracts Are you listening, church? They're going to be handing out gospel tracts to those who have forgotten what Christmas is all about. And as they hand out these tracts, they will sweetly, come on, and sincerely mention the name that is above every name. They will say the name of Jesus. The next 7 days, Christian fathers will gather their family in the living room and read from Luke and read from Matthew the real Christmas story. And their little children will hear Daddy say it one more time. Then he'll remind them again of not just the fact that Jesus came, but tell them why he came. And the gifts, by the way, that will be exchanged will simply be reminders of the greatest gift that was ever given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, folks, in the next 7 days, I believe there will still be a remnant whose theme will be, oh, come, let us adore him. You know what? Be a part of that remnant. Come on. Let's be a part of the remnant who will spend the next 7 days showering heaven with thanksgiving. How about let's make the main focus of our lives the fact that Jesus Christ, come on, that Jesus Christ would not be forgotten. That should be our biggest concern, that Jesus is not forgotten. In the next 7 days, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone who was lost, come on, think about this, because of the fact that we're pointing them to the Savior, wouldn't it be neat if in the next 7 days somebody would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? 'Twas the week before Christmas. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Bible. Again, thank you for how precious it is. I pray, Lord, that in a wonderful way, in a real supernatural way, Jesus, I pray that you would become real to us, more real to us than you have ever been in our life. That every single young person who's used to hearing your name and could tell me who you are would really begin to get to know you. Lord, we want this to be about you, but it also can be such a sweet time if we also allow it to be about us getting to know you. And so, Lord, please help us as we attempt to draw near to you, that you would draw near to us. Heavenly Father, that you'd be more real to us than you've ever been. That your Son, the Lord Jesus, would become more real to us than you've ever been. You wouldn't just be a name that the preacher says or mom and dad mentions from time to time, or something that you just read about in the Bible, but that young people would really get to know you. And so, Lord, help us, dear God, in the midst of what this world has created, in all of its attempts, dear, to distract us and the chaos around us. Lord, may we just take the next 7 days and really learn what it is to adore you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.